Father, as we move into your word, I pray that you would open up the scriptures to us, that you would give grace during this time, Lord God. Grace to us to receive your word, the truth of your word, the strength that's in your word, the instruction that's in your word. That we would become a people to carry the word close to our hearts, written on our minds and our hearts, transforming us day in and day out. That we would be that people before you, Lord God. That's our desire, our cry. To enter in, Lord God, and receive the revelation from your word. Come, Holy Spirit, come and teach us. In your precious and holy name, amen. Thank you, Lord. First Peter chapter 1. The beauty of studying a book of the Bible like this is we just constantly have a bookmark there in this book. I really appreciate Peter's heart. I appreciate the lessons he brings. I appreciate the experience that he pours into the message to the church, to the chosen, to those that have been called out of the world and up to God. Over the course of our study in the last few weeks, we've talked about the commission to the church. We've talked about the trials of a people, of a church, and even a nation. Peter lays out the salvation message, what it means, not only how we're saved, but what happens when we're saved. People often forget about that. Path of salvation. We know how we get there. But we forget the path of salvation has to work out the things that are in us that are not of God. It has to refine us. It has to prepare us. It has to put within us a kingdom mindset. The path that we walk on, once we get saved, has to work out all the garbage we picked up along the way. And as babes in Christ, the garbage we'll pick up as infants. And it's not an easy path. It's not an easy process. It's a process of often tremendous joy, tremendous sorrow. And as we mature in God, he brings us to a place of true stability in him, true strength in him, where we don't waffle and waver anymore because our mind is fixed on him. It's girded up and it's fixed on him and his will. His way, his path for righteousness. There's a transformation that takes place as we walk further and further into our faith, further and further into our path of salvation, where something gets shifted within us and we are armed and we are ready for whatever comes our way. There is a stability that is developed in us that cannot be shaken. We are not supposed to be shaken by every wind of doctrine. In my lifetime, I have watched the church go through so many winds of doctrine. It can make your head spin when you sit down to think about it. You think about the deception that the enemy has brought through this wind of doctrine. When a new wave of something that seems exciting and exhilarating and that which will ignite the people comes through the church, that's when my red flag goes off. Because I know the enemy is likely in it. And it's not going to ignite the church. It might expand the church, but it will not lead them to the Word of God. Because the reality of it is, until we come face to face with why we need faith, why we need our salvation, why we need what we need, which is all found in the Word of God. We don't need some book. We don't need somebody to analyze the gospel and to break it down into these cute little palatable segments and feed it to us. Because the truth is, when they do that, it's so watered down. We just think the Bible and serving God is all about joy. We need Jesus because we are sinners. Plain and simple. He said he's going to write his law upon our hearts and upon our minds because he's taking it from something we hold in our hands to something we carry deep within the layers of our soul. Something that can penetrate the wounds of our soul and bring healing. Something that can filter through the fractures that have taken place in our mind and fuse them together with his word, his blood, the oil of the Spirit. That's what we need. We need to know that without Christ, we are sinners, plain and simple. Without Christ as sinners, we will go to hell. Period. We look at the Ten Commandments. How many times have we blasphemed against God? You can walk in a grocery store and hear the number of times people say God's name in vain. That people don't honor God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. People don't honor God anymore. You can watch the news and hear what comes out of the newscaster's mouth and see the dishonoring and mocking of our Creator. I once read that when they were writing out the scriptures, the scribes, when they wrote out the scriptures, that before they wrote the name of God, I am, the great I am. They would do a cleansing process because the name of God was so holy to them. It was such an honorable name, the great I am, that they would go through a cleansing to ensure there was nothing that was within them that would defile what was put on paper or parchment. The name of Yahweh was so holy. It would not be shouted from the rooftops. It would be whispered in fear and trembling. The deepest honor and respect given to the name of God, the Holy One of Israel, God our Creator. But we have forgotten the holiness of His name. Our churches don't preach it. Our schools have removed it. Petitions are going around to remove Ten Commandments from the courthouses. To remove the Bible from the courthouses. I watched a Senate committee hearing. And you know how they say you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. They didn't want to say, so help you God. And they didn't want to violate anyone's rights, offend anyone by requiring that. So they just stripped the name of God right out of there. We've forgotten the pure, holy Yahweh, who sent his only begotten Son to reignite his people, to draw them in, because their hearts had become so hardened, they had become like stone. Following the Ten Commandments, following the law, had become something that was a ritualistic, mindless activity. There was no heart in it. We just did it. We got in, we washed up, we lit the candles, we burned the incense, we did the sacrifice. There was no value and significance in what we did. We just did it. We were on autopilot. They forgot the significance and the holiness of God. They forgot the Holy of Holies was in fact the Holy of Holies. The presence of God had not been felt in the Holy of Holies for who knows how long. Sacrifices are made, but he was not there. Why? The only reignition, the only thing that should be kindling us, igniting us, causing us to be on fire for God, should be the knowledge of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. When we know he came to fulfill the law, to bring the law to a place where it's written on our hearts, and we come to terms with the fact that we have, in fact, violated every one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus broke down every one of the Ten Commandments in Matthew 5-8 in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. He encompassed it all in his passages, in all of it in his sermons. You say, well, I never committed adultery. Did you lust after a woman that was not your wife? You've committed adultery. Don't even begin to tell me you haven't lied before. Because we don't remember that we stand before our Creator. He knows everything that we do in all that we do. So our gift of salvation is to save us from eternal damnation, which is what every single action we do day in and day out that is apart from God brings us. That's what we deserve. Eternal damnation, that's what we deserve. Without Christ, without the death and resurrection of Christ, which Peter himself witnessed. We deserve eternal damnation. When he cries out and he says, you're going to endure suffering, he understands we're going to endure suffering because we picked up so much garbage on our path. And we got to work out our salvation. This is a process. What do you mean you picked up garbage? We picked up habits. We picked up traits. We picked up severe character flaws that will lead us to a path of violating God's word. We don't show our brethren love. I think of the churches up in Seattle that are coming against our team that come and feed the homeless every single weekend. They're coming against them, getting in their face. Because of the residue that the homeless leave. Have they ever stopped to think that God brought the homeless to that park? because he's trying to refine those churches. He's trying to get them out of their comfort zone, out of their little cement buildings, and bring them to a place where they are loving their neighbor as themselves. What if you were homeless, man? What would you be doing? Would you be hoping that a church would open their doors and feed you? Think of Acts, the first couple of chapters of Acts. What did they say? The family of God had everything in common. They fed, they nurtured, they ministered the word. People would bring all that they had, and they developed a community where no one was lacking. The homeless were fed. The homeless were given a roof. The homeless, you know what? Were no longer homeless. Because they were given a roof in the family of God. And we've got three churches surrounding a park filled with homeless that are petitioning the city to be rid of the homeless. These are the undesirables. Have you fed them? Nope. Have you offered them a roof? Nope. People come feed them, but then they use the restroom around our property. Have you opened up your door so they could use your restroom? Nope. And their hearts are hard as stone. If you can look someone in the eyes who has no place to live, who has no regular food source, who has no shelter, no warmth, no relief from the cold, no water unless they go to a river because they're banned from using the public drinking fountains. If you can look someone like that in the eye and say, I want you to get away from me, your heart is so hard. It's going to take a pickaxe to break through that stone. What has happened to you that you have allowed your heart to become a heart of stone? You work in the church. You work in the church. You're supposed to represent Christ, not slam the door in the face of the people that need him most. When you say we got to work out your salvation, you've got to work out and allow him to work the stuff out of you so you don't become a person working in the church who has a heart of stone. Because there is nothing that breaks the heart of the Father more than seeing his children go to hell. I mean his creation. And seeing the people that represent him cause others to fall. Because I can promise you, every one of those homeless who are rejected day in and day out, who are watching no trespassing signs go up around churches that are literally across the street from where they live. And by live, I mean sleeping outside in a park, going into the woods for safety. Those people are seeing that God doesn't want them. Even God has rejected them. It is the mercy of God that drew our team to that park to show them this is not the truth about God. You see, what happens when every wind of doctrine comes in and we are not grounded and founded in the Word of God, every wind of doctrine comes in and begins to sweep back and forth and erase the Word of God. You want joy? Find it in a book. You want happiness? Find it in a book. You want emotional stability? Find it in a book. What about the Word of God? Stop reading books that tell you about yourself Stop reading books that feed your flesh and read the Word of God that refines your flesh, that works out that stuff that's not of God, that works out the sinner, the liar, the cheater. And puts within you a heart of flesh. A heart that breaks at the sight of someone in need and will do anything to meet that need. A heart that sees someone crying and will go sit with them just so they're not alone. A heart that will look into the eyes of a hungry child and do everything that they can to feed them. Everything that they can to give them a warm coat for the winter and some shoes that fit them for school. We need to pull away from the wind of doctrines. We need to gird up. Gird up. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. And be ready to hear some hard truths. Back in the days where the priests wore their priestly robes. We read about this week. They'd have to get someplace quickly. They'd take the skirts of their robe and they'd pull them up from behind and tuck them into their belt so that they could get someplace quickly without tripping over their robes. This is before the invention of pants. Pants. We'll call them pants. Somebody probably watched that action and said, let's make some pants. And as a person who never liked to wear dresses, I'm so glad that pants were invented. Gird up. Prepare. Because I'm about to give you some truth, man. I'm about to give you some truth, to deliver some truth, to fire some truth into your heart, into your mind. And I need you to grab hold of it. Peter wasn't a man who minced words. You look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was quite lengthy. John was quite lengthy. Luke, beautiful. Very detailed, very lengthy. Mark, that was dictated by Peter, is the shortest of the Gospels. He went hard and fast with that truth. Start to finish, hard and fast with that truth. And that's how Peter writes this letter. Hard and fast. Listen, I don't have time to. He was a fisherman, for goodness sake. A fisherman. He didn't have time to mince words. He was a man who understood what it meant to get out, preach the gospel, get people saved, get people healed, get people delivered. He didn't have time to mince words. Because the fire of Jesus Christ had been imparted into his heart and burned through the layers of his soul, and he was a man on a mission. I am getting people saved, healed, and delivered so that they can walk this walk. So I'm going to give you some hard truths. What happens when we don't gird up the loins of our mind? What happens when we don't keep our mind fit for action, ready for action? We become lazy. We become people who succumb to every wind of doctrine. Paul talks about this again and again. We succumb to every wind of doctrine. And when we do that, we are falling away from the purity of the scriptures. We don't need doctrine. We don't need new movements in the church. What we need in the church is repentance. We need to go back to the Word of God, open up the Word of God, and preach it from our pulpits and teach people about true repentance. Repentance for their own sins, repentance for the sins of the church, repentance for the sins of the city, repentance for the sins of the state, and repentance for the city, sins of the nation. That's what we're called to do. We remit the sins. Repentance. That's what we preach. We go back to the Word of God. Why do we need repentance? Because we're sinners. It's pretty plain and simple. Jesus said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are sinners. Paul said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are sinners. We studied James. He broke it down real clear. All men are sinners and have come short of the glory of God. We think we're in ministry and we're not sinners anymore. And that's the fallacy in the church today. They haven't girded up their minds. Every day our minds should be focused on the Word of God. Why do you think the Lord says, get up and pray? Why do you think Jesus would get up in the morning and go and spend time with the Father, even though Jesus, the man, was God in the flesh? He would go spend time, get his deposit from the Father. And what would happen? His day would be focused on God. When we get up in the morning and we spend time with the Lord, we spend time in the Word, what happens? It girds up our mind for action. It gets us focused on God instead of ourselves. It gets us focused on His plans and purposes instead of our own plans and purposes. We live in a very self-centered, self-righteous society. We don't have hardly anyone who gird up their minds, the loins of their minds. And as a result, what's happening in our society today? A culture of hate is being birthed. Do you know why? Because we fall prey to every wind of doctrine. And the new doctrine is hate and racial divide. Hate. We hate our leaders. We hate our president. We hate the justice system. We hate the police. We hate anybody that doesn't look like us. Hate, 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 hate. We don't want anyone crossing our border, but we certainly don't like our border patrol. ICE agents doing their job are being targeted by Antifa. Hate. Border agents doing their job are being targeted by vigilantes who feel like they're doing the right thing. Hate, violence, bitterness, a lack of self-control. That's what happens when you fall prey to every wind of doctrine and you don't gird up the loins of your mind. Strap it all in. When we don't gird up the loins of our mind, every thought runs, and we think it's truth. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that before. Wow. And we run with it. Like we've just been given a piece of candy for the first time, and we're all wound up in sugar. We run with it. Like it's some revelation. Oh, yeah. They don't like me because of the color of my skin. You're right. A person who never even considered a racial divide is now being made very aware of a racial divide. Why? Because they're trying to start a war in our country to destabilize our country. Why? Because all wars are bankers' wars. It minimizes the population. It causes people to be all stirred up. It gives them the authority to come in and take our guns. It gives them authority to funnel us into concentration camps. It gives them authority to control us. And if you think I'm wrong and you think that won't affect the church, there is, in fact, in place, many, many pastors. Thousands of pastors have signed this. Tens of thousands of pastors in our country have signed themselves up to be a part of the government system. That if they ever have to declare martial law, those pastors will bring their congregation in and convince them to turn over their word, their Bible, and their sword, their guns. And if I could remember the name of that, I would tell you right now, but I've talked about it before. Can't remember the name of that act. But they've signed up for it. Tens of thousands of pastors have signed up for this and have agreed. Why? Because those pastors had not girded up their minds. And if they had girded up the loins of their minds, they'd have said, absolutely, are you kidding me right now? You want me to disarm my congregation. You want me to take their Bibles and, oh, by the way, don't talk to them about the Bible. Don't use any negative scriptures. Don't talk about suffering. Don't talk about any of that because that might make them feel bad about their situation when we put them in camp. We put them behind bars. Oh, they're not really bars. They're chain link fences. Teeny tiny bars where your mind will be locked up. You can't go out because there's armed guards outside there, but you're not really behind bars because they're not straight, thick ones. These are skinny, thick chain link fence ones. Don't you worry. You won't be there long. Nope, you're not in prison. Why are there armed guards out here? How come I can't have my gun? Where's my Bible? How come you're not telling me how to get through this, Pastor? Because he didn't gird up his mind. He didn't gird up the loins of his mind and make sure he stayed focused on the Word of God. Instead, he was more focused on government acceptance. And golly, I wonder who promoted this. I wonder who supported this. I wonder who initiated this. I wonder who went out and talked to pastors about this. Oh, I don't know, maybe the previous administration? We get in good with the government. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have peace. No, we're not. We have peace in our heart. We have peace within ourselves. But when your government is trying to control you, that is not a time for peace. That's a time to go to war on your knees. Be geared up, be armed up, and never let someone take the Word of God from you. If someone wants to funnel you into a concentration camp, you better go kicking and screaming. Because if they take you, I can promise you they're going to come get your children and your children's children, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your mother, your grandmother, and they will have every one of them funneled into concentration camps. See, that's what happens when pastors do not keep their mind on the heart of God. Think about it for a minute. Do you think Peter would have agreed to that? Well, when they came to get Jesus, you know, he pulled out his sword and cut off the guard's ear. So I'm thinking no. If the Lord said, I want you to go in there because I need you to actually teach these people the Word of God, then you go. But if you haven't girded up your mind, if you haven't gotten your focus on Christ, on Him, on His will, and you don't have His Word hidden in your heart, you're not going to know whether He wants you to go or not. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to be a scared little puppy herded in with the rest of the sheep. waiting for someone else to tell you how to live and breathe. We are warriors in the kingdom of God. We are warriors in the kingdom of God. And if our weapons are not sharpened up, if we don't have our armor on, we studied the armor. What's the armor held on with? The belt of truth. It holds all your armor in. It holds your breastplate on, which protects your heart and your spirit, man. It holds your sword intact. Your sword, the word of God. It holds everything in and helps protect you. Peter is saying, I don't have time for fluffy words right now. So you need to gird up and be ready, because I'm about to drop some truth on you. Some truth on you. This letter is going to go far and wide to those that have been dispersed, those that are enduring persecution and trials, those that are fighting the good fight of faith. You need to keep your mind ready for action. You need to keep your heart tender before God. Focused on Him. Zeroed in on His will. That's the message we need to be conveying to people. That's the message that Peter gives us. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, verse 13, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Focus on your salvation. Not wind of doctrines, your salvation. If we were all in the same room and I said, how many of you have watched the wind of doctrines come through? Every one of you would raise your hand, because you would see. You would see the deception and the watered-down gospel that those doctrines brought in. You would see it. There's been ones that have come in focused on men. Let's get the men geared up. Focused on women. Let's get the women prayed up. What about the couple? We're keeping them in separate rooms, teaching them different things, giving them different paths, very little scripture. We are watering it down so much, you might as well just be drinking water. There's no substance, and we're certainly not talking about how to be a better husband or a better wife or to be as one in the faith. So we're dividing the family. And because everybody's doing it, we think we're on the right path. We're finding out leaders that were a part of those movements that came into the church have linked themselves up with Islam. John has talked about this. They're calling it Chrislam. And if we think that's the way to go, we need to go back to the Word of God and gird up the loins of our minds. There was a season in my life that people would send me books. You gotta read this. This is so good. You gotta read this. This is so good. I got a stack of books you wouldn't even believe. And the Lord said, I really need you to focus on my word. Because they're gonna tell you their thoughts, their opinions, their watered down version of me, and I need you to go to the source. If you can go to a waterfall and you can get that fresh, cold water right out of the waterfall, or you can go a mile down the stream where there's a couple of villages between the waterfall and where you're ending up and get that water, which do you think is better? Well, the waterfall might be a little dangerous. That water's coming down pretty hard. But I can promise you that water's pure. It's cool. It's refreshing. You go a quarter mile down, you got a village there. I can promise you they're washing their clothes in that. Some runoff from cooking, runoff from dirty laundry, runoff from other fluids. By the time you get a mile down the road and there's three more villages, can you imagine what you're putting in your bottle? I say go to the source. Go to the source. Go to the waterfall and get the water that will bring a true refreshing and healing to your body. Instead of contaminating it with laundry detergent, bodily fluids, particles of food, and who knows, animals are drinking out of it by then. I don't know about you, but when I go to rinse out my dog's dish, I'm pretty disgusted. There's slime in there. Where'd the slime come from? That's gross. I don't want to drink slime. And it's not because I leave it in the sun for a week. That happens overnight. There's saliva in there. And do not tell me a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's, because I've seen what my dogs do. I'm going to the source where there's no disease, no defilement of the word. I want my mind girded up with the source. So when he said, I need you not to read those books, I know it's real sweet that they sent them to you. I need you not to read those books. I need you to focus on my word, because I need my word, the purity of my word, to penetrate your mind, to filter through the layers of your soul and refine you, heal you, restore you. You come to me broken and I got to put you back together. Do not pick up a book for someone else to put you back together. Because my word heals the whole man. My word refreshes you. When you're hurting, my word will mend your broken heart. When you're fearful, my word will bring you comfort in times of trouble. The Psalms will be like the balm of Gilead, washing over your soul. When you're confused, Peter will straighten you right out. When you need deeper understanding of how I fulfilled the law, my Sermon on the Mount will break it down for you. If you need to know about the one new man and the grafting in of the Jews and the Gentiles, Paul does a beautiful job. Breaking that down. When you want to understand what it means for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the earth is groaning, crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God to come forth, you read the book of Romans and find out what that means. You want to know how to do spiritual warfare, you go to Ephesians 6. And learn how to do spiritual warfare. You want to know how to cover your family. You go to Psalms 91. Because under my wings shall you trust. You read my Gospels and you get that sin out of your life. And you will be touched so deep underneath my wing. You will be protected. Because nothing comes to you that isn't first filtered through my fingers. Because I am watching over you. Gird up the loins of your mind with the Word of God. Get those truths. Get those instructions. Embrace them and apply them to your life. People say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You know, it's just a lot. And, you know, it's kind of written in old-timey language. Right. Right. That's true. That's why we have Greek and Hebrew study tools to open up the scriptures to us and help explain what those words mean. You know why? Because God doesn't conform to you. You conform to Him. Christ didn't come into this world and conform to the world. He didn't conform to the scribes and Pharisees. He didn't conform to the great teachers. No, no, no. He brought in a whole new way. He brought us the living waters straight from the source. We don't conform to the word, the world. We don't conform and blow with every wind of doctrine. We conform to Jesus because He is the Word. We read this word and we let it transform us. Romans 12:1-2. We let the word transform us, the renewing of our mind. It brings stability. It breaks off what we brought from the world into our walk with God. It severs the ties of deception. And causes us not to think as man thinks, but to think as Christ thinks. Because when you're thinking as Christ thought, when you're thinking as Christ would, you're never going to look at a homeless person and put up a no trespassing sign. You're not going to pick up a book and say, this is what I'm going to preach on for the next 12 weeks. Because you will preach the Word of God in your church. You will go to the deep, most critical messages you can find in the Word of God because you're trying to get your people ready for war. The spiritual warfare that we have been called to in this earth. We are fighting the ultimate battle of good versus evil. And if we have not allowed Him to renew our mind, allowed Him to affect our heart and renew our heart, we will not make it. And neither will our people. Time to gird up, put them pants on, and get running. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the tough scriptures in Your Word. I thank You that You are bringing about a people who will hunger and thirst after You and go to the source to get You. That You are bringing about a people that are craving the meat contained in Your Word. That we are not conforming to the world and bringing the milk, the watered down passages, other people's views into our pulpits. But we are arming up, gearing up, preparing not only ourselves, but our people to continuously eat meat where we can grow and be strong in You. Where when the winds of doctrine come, we will not be blown because we are solid. Solid muscle. Because we've consumed the meat of the Word for so long. Where the Spirit drives us forward. not our fears, not our doubts, not our wayward thoughts, but the Spirit of the living God drives us forth. Ignite within us an urgency and a depth of understanding of what this means, Lord God. Do this within us, Lord. Transform us. Let us become a body of Christ, a church that truly represents you in the earth today. That seeks you, that hungers for you. Day in and day out. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen.